The document is a result of about a year of talks following citizen warnings about BC mines and mining projects near the border. Local and tribal governments, as well as fishing and environmental groups, say such mines could release pollution that would damage Alaska fisheries and traditional food gathering. British Columbia Mines Minister Bill Bennett says the agreement will give the state more input into the province's environmental assessment and permitting process. He says the agreement will establish a technical committee of experts, not politicians, to set up new water monitoring systems.
We need baseline information so that we know whether there's going to be or will be impact in the future for mining operations. We need these folks to figure out how we're going to pay for it, who's going to do it.
Alaska Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott called the terms another step in Alaska's commitment to open and transparent collaboration on the issue.
It creates a technical working group to allow us to essentially put our hands on the power levers of the British Columbia government in its entire regulatory process of permitting mines and monitoring mines.
The agreement was drawn up with feedback from mining, government, fisheries, community, and environmental groups, as well as state and provincial officials. Bennett says his ministry also reached out to First Nations members living in affected areas. He says similar outreach happened in Alaska.
So I think on both sides of the border, we're quite proud of the fact that this is not something that the two governments are imposing. This is something that has, I think, developed from the grassroots.
Some people disagree. Ketchikan's Rob Sanderson Jr. works with the United Tribal Transboundary Mining Work Group. He says tribal governments on both sides of the border should be co-signers of the agreement. He also says it doesn't address their most fundamental concerns.
It's not our business to issue permits to mining companies. Our business, in my opinion, is to maintain our culture for all future generations. This agreement does not do that.
Sanderson and other mine critics say this statement of cooperation, part of a larger memorandum of understanding, has little power to make significant mine safety improvements. They want the state to continue pursuing involvement of the International Joint Commission. That's a U.S.-Canada panel handling cross-border water disputes.
This memorandum of agreement throws a wrench into that. It's because when you're looking at it from the outside, you know, they're saying, well, probably maybe we don't need it. You know, the state has a memorandum with the British Columbian government, so, you know, why go there?
Lieutenant Governor Mallott says the statement of cooperation will not interfere with the state's pursuit of Joint Commission action.
We view this as a multi-tracked process, of which the SOC is but one.
The Southeast Alaska Conservation Council's Guy Archibald says the document is much improved from earlier versions, but in an email, he says some of its wording, such as the definition of significant degradation, is not strong enough. BC mining companies and regulators say the existing process already safeguards transboundary rivers. That's a position taken by Alaska officials in past years before citizen concerns led to talks that resulted in this agreement. Only one mine, Red Chris, is up and running in the transboundary area. A second, Brucejack, is under construction. A third, Tulsiqua Chief, is closed and needs cleanup. But Bennett says another handful of exploration projects are far from development due to technical and economic challenges.
So I don't think you're ever going to see, you know, a sudden, you know, emergence of a half a dozen new mines or something in northwestern British Columbia. But you will see other projects come along in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Critics say even if it's just one mine, it still threatens the environment and livelihoods in Southeast Alaska. I'm Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.